Good evening, everybody. Is this on? Well, I'm going to start off by reading the passage for tonight, which is Philippians 2. So if you wouldn't mind turning in your Bibles there. And I'll be referring to the passage quite a bit, so if you could keep it open, it might help you to refer back. Well, the topic for tonight is Jesus, our Lord. And a few weeks ago when Ian approached me and asked me to preach on this topic, I thought, well, Jesus, our Lord, I'm sure we'll be able to find something in the Bible that we can speak about. But tonight, when I think of Jesus, our Lord, all I can say is, wow. And I hope that by the end of this evening, you will be able to say the same with me. In fact, we've been singing about it tonight. We've been singing about His greatness and His majesty. And the sermon is actually just a continuation of that tonight. I will be reading from the NIV, so it's a little bit, might be a bit different, I think. Philippians 2, from verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So tonight, as we consider Jesus, our Lord, I was thinking of the word Lord, and I was thinking what it means, what we hear it so often. And the title Lord is actually quite a common one, and I think more in English culture than everywhere else. You often hear people addressed, especially the people in higher circles in politics and life, are addressed as Lords. So I went and looked it up, and in the Oxford Dictionary, it explains that a lord is someone who is a master or a ruler. It is generally someone who has dominion over something, someone who rules over something. But usually when we speak about lords or masters or rulers, mostly anything to do with authority and submission, there is generally a negative perception because of the way earthly rulers have misused and abused their positions of power and influence. Generally, those who are under the rulers have felt oppression and unfair conduct towards them. But I have found that dealing with, in preparation with this subject, we cannot escape the fact that if we accept Jesus as our Lord, then it requires of us to submit to His Lordship. And the word submit or submission in a nutshell is to do what pleases Him. So, from this passage then, as we consider Jesus as our Lord, there are basically two main things that I would like us to look at tonight. Firstly, to see that Jesus is different to the rulers of this world. And secondly, what our response is to Jesus as Lord. But just to give a brief context of where this scripture fits in, chapter 1, Paul reminds the Philippians that he is in chains for the gospel, and that the path he walks is not an easy one. He also reminds them that he is aware of their sufferings and the struggles that they are going through. But he urges them to unite. He urges them to stand together. In verse 27 of chapter 1, he says to them, "Stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel." Then in chapter 2, he begins by encouraging them to serve one another. He promotes unity, concern for others, and humility. And then, as if to reinforce everything he has said, he points us and them to the ultimate example. He points them to Jesus. And he says that in verse 5, he says, "This is the attitude which you should have." So how is Jesus then different to the rulers of this world? Well, in verse 6, Paul establishes Jesus' status when he says that Jesus is in fact God. Jesus is in his nature God. He is saying that Jesus is all-powerful. He is saying that Jesus is the creator of all things. He is saying that Jesus is the master of all things. Paul delivers an astounding blow to the perceptions we have about Jesus' authority by pointing out that despite Jesus' status as God, he humbled himself and submitted his will to that of his Father. Paul makes it impossible for us to put Jesus in the same class as the rulers of this world, who seek only to increase their own power and influence. Paul continues to set Jesus above the rest when he says that not only did Jesus not consider grasping equality with God, but in fact he humbled himself and laid down his life. In verse 7, we see that he became a servant by becoming a man. Here we see something that is foreign to our understanding and to the way the world works. Here we see the master comes down to serve the servants. He submitted his will to that of his Father, and he came to serve us. In verses 6 to 8, we see the following aspects of Jesus' attitude and Jesus' lordship. In verse 6, we see that Jesus is God, but does not consider grasping equality with God. We see that he doesn't enter a power struggle with God. In verse 7, we see quite the opposite. He humbles himself and submits his will to God. Jesus' attitude is one of humility, and his action from that attitude is to become a man and to become a servant. In verse 8, Jesus comes to serve us and pays the price that we cannot pay. He takes away our sin. He takes away our guilt and the punishment that we deserve by obeying God and sacrificing his life for ours. Verse 9 is significant because here we see that it is not Jesus who exalts himself, as we so often see in the world, but it is in fact God the Father who exalts Jesus. It is God the Father who bestows lordship on Jesus. And it is God who gives him dominion over everything. So in light of this, in considering Jesus as Lord, and seeing who he is and what he has done, and the attitude that he has, we then have a responsibility to respond. By looking at this, we are left with a decision to make. And in verse 5, we see the crux of our response. Verse 5, as it tells us that we should have the same attitude as that of Jesus. Our response is therefore attitude-based, but it is seen in our actions. Just as Christ humbled himself before God and served others, so too should we humble ourselves before him and serve others. Just as he submitted and obeyed God, so too should we submit and obey him. In verses 1 to 8, these 8 verses are directed to the church. And out of our submission to Jesus and as believers, we should seek to be humble and serve others. So in our response to Jesus as Lord, it means that we put verses 2, 3, and 4 into action. Verse 2 says, being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and purpose. This is not about being robots or being clones. It's not about just going with the flow and agreeing with everything. This verse is about unity. It's about putting aside differences. It's about laying down pride and together serving Christ. It's about living for the same purpose, to serve our Master. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Verse 3 is not speaking about being a doormat. Verse 3 is not speaking about training yourself to have a low self-esteem. What verse 3 speaks of means that we don't harm others in word and in deed. Sometimes we might feel that it is our duty to inform others of how bad someone might be. Or we might inform others of something someone has done. But in those times, we need to remember that gossip is gossip. And slander is slander. And both of these imply that you are placing yourself in a position above someone else. Verse 3 is about laying down our pride. It is about taking on humility. And it is about serving others instead of serving ourselves. In verse 4 then, we see each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. A life submitted to the Lordship of Jesus will seek to grow in unity with other believers. Therefore, looking out for the interests of others rather than only looking out for oneself. As believers, I believe the philosophy is not every man for himself, but every man for every man. So putting these verses into action, I believe, is the evidence and the proof of our submission to Christ. But in order to act this way, we need to have Jesus' attitude. So by aligning our attitudes with that of Christ, our actions will follow. Verses 1 to 8 speak of one kind of response to the Lordship of Jesus. It speaks of serving others out of humility, in the same way as Christ served us out of humility. But in verses 10 and 11, we see another kind of response to the Lordship of Jesus. Here we see that Paul says that there will come a day when everyone will bow and submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And we have sung about that quite a lot tonight. It is already decided. God has already declared Jesus as Lord. And everyone must choose for themselves in this life whether they will bow to Jesus and submit their lives to Him. I found this passage an incredible reminder of why I love Jesus and what He has done for me and why He is the best master. But this passage also serves as a warning to those who choose not to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. There will come a day, says Paul, when everyone will bow and confess Jesus as Lord. And this time, there will be no choice. It will be a day of victory, but it will also be a day of great surrender. So the choice is clear. Do we yield in this life and wave the white flag of surrender and submit to Christ by serving others? Or do we kick against His lordship and serve only ourselves and chase worldly pleasures until the day He humbles us and our time runs out? If we submit ourselves to earthly rulers and lords, and we all understand by putting ourselves under the authority of someone on earth, then how much more important is it to submit ourselves to the Lord of all lords, the one who is the greatest? There is no other like Him. So in closing, I'd like to make a few points that the Lord has placed on my heart over the last few weeks and what He has been teaching me about this message and this topic that we've been speaking of tonight. Firstly, submitting to Jesus means to do what pleases Him and not to do whatever I want. Submitting to Jesus is to choose to serve Him in every area of my life and in every situation, not only when it's convenient to do so. For example, when my boss and I don't see eye to eye, do I fight against him? Do I challenge him? Or do I remember that it is God that has placed him in authority over me? And therefore, by submitting to him, I submit to Christ. Or maybe someone has said something or done something to me that has upset me or hurt me. Do I go around and tell everybody of this great injustice? Or do I start spreading rumors? Or do I retaliate? Or do I pray about him? And as we heard this morning, do I forgive him? Or do I go and speak to him in love, not in anger? This is the difference between submitting to Christ and doing what pleases me. Thirdly, true submission to Christ is displayed in the attitude we have towards others. Fourthly, we all have masters of one form or another that we submit our lives to. And lastly, despite our shortcomings, I have learned that Jesus loves us. When we were lost in our sinfulness, He came to save us. And I can think of no better Lord and Master to submit my life to. Can you? So Jesus is Lord. Let's serve Him by serving one another out of love, humility, and submission to Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn for tonight. Jesus is Lord, the cry that echoes through creation, resplendent power, eternal word, our rock. I'll encourage you to really take these words to heart and think about the words that we're singing tonight. And think about the place that we put Jesus in our lives. Do we submit to Him, or do we try and please ourselves?